the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam. I am Chandu Vijay and you're listening to Love to Love. Well, today is the first anniversary of the Radio Sai Thursday Live. The idea for it came up in one of our office meetings when one of the brothers suggested, why don't we go live? We gave it some thought and soon, within a month's time, we were ready to do a trial run. And on May 17th, 2012, we went live for the whole day for the first time with a very humble setup. So looking back at the last 52 weeks since the first live, many things have changed and many things have been learned. And today, let's make a travel back in time, going through the various episodes of Love to Love and talk about how it evolved. So let's begin with some snippets from the first Love to Love episode that went on air on the 17th of May 2012. So dear listeners, enjoy this journey where I have picked up some of the best songs that was played on this show for the past 1 year. Dear fellow pilgrims, welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai in Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. Christmas of 2010 has been etched deep in my heart, and one of the reasons for that is a wonderful music presentation by the devotees from Italy. I still remember how involved Swami was for each and every song they sang. And after the program, Swami called all the musicians personally with so much love and blessed them with His divine sparshan and sambhashan. Let's now go back to the Christmas of 2010 and listen to a soulful rendition of the popular bhajan Ek Baar Kshama Karo Sai.
Ek Baar Kshama Karo Sai Mere Baba Shri Satya Sai Ek Baar Kshama Karo Sahi Mere Baba Shri Satya Sai teri dwaar kamma hai baat ke sahi teri yaad mujhe shaam murti sai baba prem murti satya sai mere baba shri satya sai ek baar kshama karo sai mere baba shri satya sai Shama Murti प्रेममु सत्यासने शाममूर्ति सैव करुसाए मेरे बाबा श्री सात्य साए शेरे के साही तेरी द्वार कमाए पार्थ के साही तेरी याद मुझा श्याम मूर्ति साई बाबा प्रेम मूर्ति सत्य साई श्याम मूर्ति साई बाबा प्रेम मूर्ति सत्य साई एक बार क्षमा सारे मेरे बाबा श्री सात्य सा मेरे बाबा क्यारो साई
back, I happened to go through the book, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. For those of you who are not familiar with Khalil Gibran, he is a Lebanese-American artist, poet and writer. And this book, The Prophet, is considered as the best-selling book in America after the Bible. It's been translated to 50 different languages and has sold over 100 million copies. I remember Sri Narasimha Murthy Garu, who was the warden of the Vrindavan campus, quoting Khalil Gibran extensively during his awareness lectures in the college and talks in Sai Kulwant Hall. The Prophet is a small book with 26 prose poems dealing with big questions of life, such as love, pain, death, children, etc. I am going to read what Mr. Gibran has to say on love. I think contemplating on this really helps us to rethink our relationship with Swami. The first paragraph goes thus. When love beckons you to you, follow him. Though his ways are hard and steep, and when his wings enfold you, yield to him. Though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him. Though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lay waste the garden. Now I'm going to jump to the last paragraph. I think the last paragraph is so beautiful. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must have desires, let these be your desires. To melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. To be wounded by your own understanding of love. And to bleed willingly and joyfully. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving. To rest at the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy. To return home at eventide with gratitude. And then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise upon your lips. Wasn't it beautiful? With so much said on love by the Middle Eastern mystic poet Khalil Gibran, probably it is time for a song. And let me play you a song on love which has a lot of Middle Eastern flavor. Here is Love the Love by Diana Gillespie.
Love the love, love the love, love the love, love the love, love the beloved, love the love the beloved, love the love the beloved, love the love the beloved. Take love, don't break love, just make love your goal. So love the love the beloved, oh love the love the beloved, love the love the beloved, love the love the beloved. Hold it, enfold it, it's gold in your soul. So love the love, love the love.
About the music group Lightstorm and talked about how they came to Swami through Miss Indra Devi and how Swami used to make them sing for many festival occasions. So here is another song from Lightstorm. Well, the speciality of this song is that it is basically a collection of Swami's teachings. And just a few songs before, we spoke about what it means to love Swami. So just to recap, we said, to say our love Swami means to follow His teachings. So here is a song that talks about His teachings. Dear listeners, basically Love to Love started off as a program where I would play many songs and then speak in between about the artist who sang the song, his experiences with Swami, or about the theme of the song, or some incident when the song was performed in front of Swami, etc. And later it evolved into a program where I would narrate some beautiful incidents in between the songs, beautiful stories from Swami's life, from Swami's teachings, or experiences of different devotees and students. So here is the best of stories from Love to Love. When we think of Swami, the first thing that comes to our mind is His infinite love. He is an ocean of compassion. When the world was sleeping, lulled by evil forces, the Divine Lord felt the need for His descent. He descended with one strong weapon to transform the world, and that is His love. Swami's hospitals, educational institutes, houses to the flood-prone, drinking water to the poor stand testimony to His love. Books may fall short talking about His glory, but His love knows no full stop. It is ever going and ever growing. Here is one such beautiful story of Swami's love. Once in the old Prashanti Mandir portico, a student was trying to come close to Swami. He leapt over the other student seated in the front and managed to give an invitation to Swami. Swami, in all His compassion, took that invitation from the boy and asked him, "So, is it your wedding?" The boy replied, "No, no, Swami, it is my elder brother's wedding." Swami said, "Oh, your elder brother was also a student of our college, right? Now he is working. Oh, I see. This is his wedding card. Stay here." Swami then went inside the interview room and brought a bag with clothes to be presented to the bridegroom. He gave that bag to the boy and said, "Give this bag to your brother. He was a student of our college and he was a very good boy." He then materialized a ring and asked this boy to give to his brother. And then Swami joked and said, "You don't take it for yourself, okay? You should give to your brother. You understand?" And the boy nodded in affirmation. Then Swami said something which really touched the boy. Swami said, "Tell your brother, who is an old student of our college, that though he has forgotten me, I have not forgotten him. I will not forget you, even if you forget me. I shall not forsake you, even if you forsake me. I will remember you always." Only God can stoop to such levels to remind us that He cares even if we forget Him. His divine love and compassion cannot be described in mere words or definitions. One has to experience these different facets of love. So it is time for some music now, and let's now play the next song, Face of the Divine, and followed by Heartache by Dana Gillespie.
Let's live life as one heart and one people. The earth is our beloved home. The earth is our beloved home. Tonight,
The full moon is our steeple. And as we pray in unity, the stars above us sparkle, lighting up infinity. Same divinity. It's time to be one world and one people. Let's open wide our doors. Let's open wide our doors. Today, the shining sun is our steeple. And as we pray, you and I, we become the very light that fills the morning sky. Love all, serve all, in harmony. See in everyone the same divinity. That your soul always keeps full, and the world becomes peaceful. Let's live life as one heart and one people. The earth is our beloved home. The earth is our beloved home. Tomorrow we rise above the steeple, and as we pray, you and I, we see in the other the face of the divine.
Said that he is a man among men, woman among women, and a child among children. Once when a large group of children from England visited him in 1978, bringing with them 7 sacks of gifts for Swami to be given to the needy, Swami took out and examined all the gifts. There were teddy bears, toy trains, cars, cloth bags, and even a packet of Vitabix breakfast cereal. And as he was taking them out, he kept on saying in wonder, "And is this for me too?" to the children's great delight. It did not stop at that. He later took all the children to the garden and for their amusement made a beautiful tiny shiny rabbit sit on the crown of his hair. When among children, I am a child, Swami has declared, and how wholly and solely he became one with them on that occasion. But this childlike nature of Swami is always accompanied by great wisdom and startling revelations. In 1983, there was a small exhibition organized by the students in Vrindavan. After looking through the various displays, Swami then came to the last item, which was a burglar alarm. So there was a beam of light, and when it was interrupted, the alarm went off. So one of the students said, "Swami, please put your hands across the beam." Swami did that, but nothing happened. The boy thought that something must have gone wrong with the equipment, and just to check, he put his own hands. The alarm rang. Perplexed, he requested Swami to put his hand again, and Swami lovingly obliged. But again, the alarm did not ring. This time the boy was dumbfounded. The students there looked at each other. Everybody was clueless and helpless. Swami then smiled sweetly and said to the boy, "I am not that kind of a thief. I am Chittachora, the stealer of hearts." What a way to reveal himself. So here is Diana Gillespie with the song "Stealer of Hearts," taken from her concert in Sai Kulwant Hall in 2002.
The ocean, let me be a stream and come flowing back to you. And if you are the tree, let me be a creeper and wind myself around you. And if you are the endless sky, let me be a bright star in you. You are the flower, let me fly as a bee and come buzzing round you. If you are the mountain, let me be the valley so I can look up at you. Every step of the way coming closer to you. Stealer of hearts, never set me free. I'm a prisoner of love in all that I do. If you are the king, let me fall to my knees and offer my heart to you. If you are the light, let it shine through me to be a reflection of you. And if you are the goal, let me play the game to win the one heart that's true. Chittachora, stealer of hearts, oh stealer of hearts, Nanda Kishora. And if you are the wind, let me whisper your name on the breeze that blows me to you. If you are the fire, let me burn in the flame, oh let the moth, let me die for you. You are the heart, let me move to the beat, for the rhythm of true love is you. take all of me. Every step of the way coming closer to you. Stealer of hearts, never set me free. I'm a prisoner of love in all that I do. And if you are the tune, let me be the voice. Sing of the glory of you. If you are the sun, let me stand beneath. And there'll be no shadow with you. If you are the world and all that's in it, let me live my life for you. Of the way coming closer to you. Stealer of hearts, never set me free. I'm a prisoner of love in all that I do. If you are the ocean, let me be the stream. Come flowing back to you. If you are the tree, let me be the creeper. And wind myself around you. You are the endless night. Let me be a bright star in you. If you are the flower, let me fly as a bee and come buzzing around you. If you are the mountain, let me be the valley. So I can look up at you. Stealer of hearts, stealer of hearts.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of highest peace. Well, most of the devotees would have seen Swami giving special blessings to the students who are celebrating their birthdays on a given day. The students generally take a tray which will have some chocolates, vibhuti packets, dry fruits, etc. to be blessed by Swami so that the same could be distributed as prasadam to their friends and family. One day a boy who was studying in Swami's higher secondary school was sitting for birthday blessings. Swami called him to the interview room and materialized a hot Badshah sweet, a popular sweet in South India, dripping with ghee, as though it was just freshly taken out from the pan. And then Swami told the surprised student that when he had gone home for the vacations, he had asked his mother to prepare this particular sweet, but unfortunately, because of a busy schedule, his mother had forgotten to make the sweet. Swami paused and very sweetly added, "But how can your divine mother forget?" So dear listeners, if any time you feel that your prayers did not get answered, it is not that God has forgotten you or your prayer. It is just that He is not prepared to give you anything but the best for you. So let's now take a break from our playlist of songs and listen to a bhajan sung with great gusto by the British actress singer Dana Gillespie. So here is a bhajan from her album Dream On.
Thank you.
So from stories, Love to Love evolved to a program where we would develop a theme in course of the episode. We started off by talking about the different human values of truth, righteousness, love, peace and nonviolence. And then we also spoke about different virtues like that of sacrifice, of that of devotion, of playing the game of life right, etc. So here are three snippets from various Love to Love episodes talking about devotion, playing the game of life and sacrifice. You are tuned into the Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony and is listening to Love to Love on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We are speaking about devotion today. And as we think about what devotion means to us and how we see that devotion in our daily lives, let's also speak about the requisites for devotion. Let's see what Swami has to say about the requisites. According to Swami, there are 5 requisites for developing true devotion. Well, you might say that, well, that is not many requisites for something so important. Spirituality, dear listeners, is not really something that is very difficult. This tells us that our loving Lord has simplified and made things so easy for us to understand. Swami says the first requisite is dedication. Dedication is offering everything to God. Fairly easy, we might think, but it's not as easy as it seems. To surrender everything without thinking can be barred by egoism. The ego manifests itself in various forms of pride, like pride of physical strength, intellectual pride, the arrogance of wealth and others. But as all these are impermanent and may be lost at any time, it is unwise to make the body, mind or property the basis of for one's conceit. Hence, egoism should be renounced as the first offering to God. It is very interesting to note here that Swami asks not only for the good from us but also our bad habits. In fact, he is happier if we are ready to give up and offer all our bad and negative qualities first. As the mystic poet Rumi said, "If you are irritated by every rub, how will your mirror be polished?" Offering the good is usually the easy part. It is the offering of the not so good that takes some time and effort. But perhaps, if we take that first step in faith, Swami will definitely see us through to the final steps that will follow. Let us think about this first requisite as we listen to the next 2 songs. Let's all do a quick self-audit and think about our own egos that we battle with. And let's offer this ego together at Swami's divine lotus feet with confidence that He will take them from us with the same love as we offer it to Him.
We know that.
Today we are talking about the game of life and how to play it fair and square. Well, sticking to our initial example of cricket, I'm reminded of a talk that was given by a student in the prayer session of Swami's University while I was a student. Well, in our institute, it is a regular practice to have a bhajan session every day morning before the classes commence. The entire college assembles in the prayer hall where we do the bhajans. Twice a week, we have, instead of bhajans, we have some students speaking on various topics of inspiration or of spiritual importance. And once a speaker very beautifully drew an analogy between cricket and the game of life. So this is what he said. He said, "Our lives commence on a sticky wicket, the womb. Then follow the deliveries. We arrive and immediately get padded up, soft shoes, thermals, and of course the guard. Oops, sorry, I mean the diapers. The commentary box, the maternity ward, announces the arrival of the debutant. On entry, we view the world in its infinite field placements, relationships. Sooner than later, we establish our footwork. We begin to walk, and infancy gives way to boyhood, and we begin to run. We begin to chase so many things and our innings has begun. In childhood, we often shuttle between wickets of fancy dreams. The curators, that means teachers, they help lay the pitch for our future successes. In the power play of youth, glances are exchanged without the batting of eyelids. Well, a maiden over is bowled in which a direct hit ensues, and the heavens are witnesses to a perfect match. Somewhere in the middle overs, crippled by the leg break of desire, one gets caught by the gully of Buckworth Lewis. In the pursuit of making a quick buck at more than run a ball, we become party to the quick fall of wickets, our family, friends, carriers. Darkness seems to pervade all over as the lightsometer of our lives seem to signal abysmal readings. Traditionally, it has always been the onus of the batsman to appeal for light. But the referee here is of utmost magnanimity. You slip, he bails you out. You run short, he cautions you. And thus, when you seem to struggle against fading light, he offers you the floodlight of his grace. With some cheeky shots, you finally score the winning runs and become the toast of your team. Looking back at the innings, the point strikes you. Life is a limited overs game, which we play through day and night. But then, the realization dawns on you that this match was fixed, for the referee was always on your side. So you confront the referee and bowl at him a Yorking googly by inquiring how things always swung your way, trying to put him on the back foot. He promptly dispatches it for a six, replying, "Little one, I will never say bye-bye. I will ever say not out. In the tradition of my game, will offer you benefit of the doubt. So why worry? Life is a game. Just play it. For it is the game of love and unity.
Life is a game, so play it. Yes, life is a game, so play it. So sing it. Yes, life is a song for singing. As you sing the song of life, you'll forget all of your strife. If you just sing up the tune, you can fly up to the moon. Yeah.
is for love, so love us. Yes, life is for love, so love us. If you fill your heart with love, you'll shine down from up above. For in everything you do, the dear Lord will shine through you. Dream, don't snore it. Wake up. Wake up, don't you dare ignore it. When you realize the dream, you will see it's God's good scheme. When you wake up, dreams come true, for the dream is truly you.
People regard sacrifice as a bitter pill to swallow, even if it has a sugar coating. Now, however, I think many of us fail to realize that life of every single one of us depends on many sacrifices. Like, for example, the sacrifice that all mothers undergo before giving birth. Even in the case of a normal birth, the last stage of pregnancy is always tough and demanding on the expectant mother. Let's take a look at the simple physical aspects of childbirth. Now, we all know that breathing is the essence of life, right? In the case of an expectant mother, she actually has to breathe for two, her own self and the baby that she's carrying. Initially, the demands of the growing baby for oxygen are modest, but towards the end of pregnancy, the mother finds that breathing for two becomes increasingly difficult. I don't know if you have noticed how many mothers, they often gasp while walking, or sometimes even when they're doing something simple like talking. So in fact, birth is just the mechanism by which nature expels the baby out into the world, almost as if saying, okay, listen, enough is enough. Your mother has sacrificed enough for you, and from now on, you're going to be breathing for yourself. However, the sacrifice of a mother never stops just at childbirth, right? It continues throughout the child's life, where the child becomes the mother's joy and entire life itself. They would stop at nothing to protect their children. Probably most of you would have heard the story of the mother who covered her own child with her body to protect the baby from harm during the Japanese earthquake. This mother was found in a position that looked as though she was protecting something. She had formed a human shield around her son as the building collapsed around her. Well, the child survived, of course, but the mother sacrificed her life to save him. She even left a note on her cell phone for the child that read, "If you can survive, you must remember that I love you." Such was the love of that mother for her child. So stay tuned, dear listeners. We will continue with our reflections on sacrifice today. And for now, here is some soul-stirring music.
Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, but I
it was in February 2013 that Love to Love underwent a major change which got a lot of listener attention. That's when we started this segment, the song that you would love to listen to a million times and why. And here is the first episode of that segment, the song that you would love to listen to a million times and why. So welcome back, dear listeners, to yet another beautiful Thursday. And today's episode of Love to Love is going to be a special episode. Why? Well, do we really need a reason for a special show? I don't think so. I think that's one of the problems of the world. People want a Mother's Day to express their love towards their mother. They need a Teacher's Day to express their gratitude towards their teachers. People wait for a festival to celebrate their life. Why? Why can't every day be a celebration of everything that we have in our lives? Well, I'm sure all of you would have heard of the story of the guy with no shoes feeling bad, and then he sees a man without feet and realizes how fortunate he was. So the bottom line is, dear listeners, be grateful every day of your life. Be grateful that you are alive, and one has 1,000 reasons to be happy if only you look for it. So look for the good things and let the bad things pass in good faith. So, getting back to our special Thursday, Love to Love. For today's session, I thought we could do something different and interactive. One thing all of us have in common is her love for bhajans and music. So I started to think about my long-standing love affair with music and how some bhajans just seem to sweep me off my feet every single time I hear them. That's when I thought, hey, why don't we talk to few devotees here and ask them what their favorite bhajans are that they wouldn't mind listening to a million times over, and why that particular bhajan is so appealing to them. To start with, I thought, let's do something small and ask my brothers working here. So I went around the studio with a portable recording device and a microphone, recording people's response to my question. So here it is, the bhajan or a song you wouldn't mind listening to a million times and why. To start with, here is my conversation with Brother Arvind, who does the afternoon satsang with Brother Prem that you just heard before this program, which will be followed by his favorite bhajan. So Sairam Arvind, and welcome to the show. So I'm going to ask you this question, which I've been asking many people in the last 2 days, and that is, name the bhajan or a song which you wouldn't mind listening to a million times.
Well, if you ask me, my bhajan would be Sai Ram, Sai Sham, Mere Sai Ram.
Okay, now there are thousands of Sai bhajans and so many songs composed by students. Most of them have very beautiful and touching lyrics and tune. So why is this bhajan so special to you compared to many other bhajans?
Well, actually there's a long history, you know. It so happened that when I joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School in my 11th standard, I saw that by default I used to like some kind of bhajans. And among those kind of bhajans that I liked, there were some which were extra special. So those bhajans which I liked, I called them mystery bhajans. And these extra special ones, I called them super mystery bhajans. Basically, I didn't know what was so mysterious about them that charmed me so much. Later on, when I spoke to one of my classmates who was musically accomplished, he said that all my mystery bhajans were in the minor chord. And then he said that my super mystery bhajans were all in the rag Darbari.
Okay.
And this Sai Ram, Sai Sham, Mere Sai Ram, this bhajan also happens to be in rag Darbari. And whenever I used to hear it in Swami's presence, in Swami's physical presence, in Swami's physical absence, I used to always get tears in my eyes. During one summer vacation at home, I remember I was missing Swami so much. I was sitting in the altar, playing the harmonium on my own, whatever little I knew, and singing out this bhajan. And as I sang this bhajan, tears were streaming down my eyes. Nobody was there in the room with me. I was all alone. As I completed the bhajan, there was one friend, my mother's friend. She had come home. She came to me, and you know, they used to say that this lady is able to visualize Bhagwan, is able to see Bhagwan. We have heard of so many cases that way. I did not, give much importance to that, because I felt if Swami wants to communicate, he will communicate directly. But suddenly she came to me and said, Swami had come home now. Anytime you feel sad and you want Swami to pay attention to you, you sing this bhajan to yourself. That's what she told. And after that, innumerable occasions I have seen, in my lowest points, either I sing this bhajan and some response comes, or I'm totally lost and I'm frustrated, I'm depressed, I'm about to go haywire in some and do some emotionally stupid things. Out of nowhere, you know, it may be from a car stereo or somebody passing by on the road, this bhajan, you know, it somehow keeps coming back again and again into my life. And that's it. That's all. I mean, logically I can explain only that much. But there's something very special, and this is my favorite bhajan. I wouldn't mind listening to it a million times.
Wow, that is so beautiful. I was actually expecting that answer like, you know, the lyrics is beautiful or the tune is beautiful, but you actually have a beautiful experience with this bhajan. That is amazing. And it is no secret that your favorite raga is Darbari. I'm sure everybody in Puttaparthi kind of knows it. Now, even all the listeners across the globe also will know that your favorite raga is indeed Darbari. Of course, Darbari is such a beautiful rag. And thank you, Brother Arvind. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Sai Ram, Sai Sham, Mere Sai Ram. श्याम मेरे साई राम मेरे साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ राम मेरे साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ राम साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम शांति दो भगवान मुझे शांति दो भगवान मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो साईनाथ हे मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो साईनाथ हे साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम मेरे साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राण नाथ राम साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम शांति दो भगवान मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो साईनाथ हे जीवन में साथ रहो साईनाथ रे। साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम।
Well, the last change that came about was the introduction of conversations with student musicians on their tryst with Swami and music. Here is a mind-blowing experience of Brother Priyant, who did his BCom and MBA from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning.
So it was my first, after my first year MBA, I had a summer vacations and I really wanted to do this practice, chilla. I remember I fixed my schedule. I used to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and then, you know, after freshen up till 4:30 and then start my practice from 4:30 in the morning and first 4:30 to let's say 8 o'clock, if I'm doing a particular scale, I do that as my warm-up exercise, and then the day goes on with that, with my practice, and mommy used to come and give me my food and things like that. First day was good, really tiring. Second day was okay. Third day was very, very difficult. I've been in the same room for almost 3 days now. And this is the time when my mind is, you know, really started thinking all sorts of things which you're not supposed to think, all sorts of negative things. When you are not out in the world, your mind is just closed and then it wants to escape. And all sorts of negative thoughts that's been running in my mind now. On the third day. So I just don't know what to do. I can't go out because I've, you know, decided that I'm gonna do this for 40 days. Then I realized, yeah, I remember third day was my birthday. It was 18th of April. And then I realized that I was almost at the verge of crying. I knew, I was at that point in time crying, no, there's no one beside me, I can't talk to anyone, I want to go out, I want to do something, there's this particular book which has really inspired me a lot, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. So I had that book, I took out the book and I read a paragraph from the book so that it helps me to live in the present, because that's, when I was reading the book, I couldn't read the sentences because my eyes were filled with tears. And as I was wiping my tears, with the blur image, I could see Swami in front of me. I was shocked, I was surprised. Yes, he is there, and he is there, yes, I can tell him now. Then as I wiped my tears, again the next moment I looked up, he was not there. Again, that really boosted me for another couple of days, another 5 days, let's say. I realized that, yes, he is there. No matter if no one is there in your life, he is there. And on 23rd of April, that was my 9th day. It was again difficult for me. And when I was practicing, I just saw the shape of Swami in my room. That was on 23rd of April. And I completed my 9th day, and on 24th of April, mommy comes to my room in the morning and she tells me that Swami is no more. She tells me Swami is no more, and then now I have to go back to Parthi no matter what. So I'm not going to complete this thing. So I decided to go to Parthi that day. I met my friends in the town. We are booking the tickets and, you know, all my friends were crying, but then I was at peace because I just had darshan and I felt really happy. So what if you want, he is there. Yeah. After coming over here also, after seeing Swami's body, I was not shocked for few days. Then, after 5-6 days, I could get the vibration of people crying. Then, you know, it happened. But for the first initial phase, I was not at all, you know, worried or he has left or he is gone. And because I knew if I practice, he is there. So, till date, practice is so important for me because I want to see him or I want to connect to him. And so I knew I had to take up music as my career. No matter what kind of music I play, what kind of blues numbers I play, because I know it's he who has created the things, he who has created music, and I play it for him.
That was such an amazing, mind-blowing experience, if I have to say. The kind of practice that you do, I don't think it is any different from spiritual sadhana. I mean, you are literally shutting yourself up in a room for 40 days and then you don't talk to anybody. The only thing that you do is to practice music. And of course, music is such a powerful medium to connect with God. And it is no surprise that Swami appeared that day in your room while you were practicing, because what you were doing was nothing but meditation, if I can call it that way. So possibly at this juncture, I might request you to sing a song. Maybe whatever inspires you. You just told the story, such a beautiful story. Whichever song comes to your mind first, just sing it.
I remember singing this song in front of Swami in the year 2009 when he took me to Kodai. One English song. He was telling all the Burakatha boys to do this, and I love singing Western songs. I was thinking he won't tell me to sing, you know. But then, to my utter amazement, he told me to sing. So this is the song called "Is This a Dream Come True," which I specially wrote it for Swami, and it's also there in my upcoming album. So I hope you enjoy the song.
Always will. back. You gave me love. You gave me the world that I've been praying for. You gave me life. You gave me love. You gave me the world that I've been praying for. A promise to be forever. Yours, worthy. Smile on me. You're an angel in my destiny. Your beautiful eyes have made me mesmerized. I love you and I always live. Love you and I always will.
Thank you.
So dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed that journey through Love to Love over the last 1 year. Do send your feedback to listener@radiosai.org and stay tuned. For now, we will have the Telugu Life segment by Brother Ganesh, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari.